working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. Touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around.
but now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Oh, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me. Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you never fail. I'm not afraid to die.
Good morning, church. My name is Shege, and I serve on our worship team. We're so excited to have you here with us. If you're interested in learning more about who we are as a church and how to serve on a team, registering for the Discovery Track is your next step. May 12th, we will start step one of our four-step process. This summer, June 27th through the 30th, we have Vacation Bible School for children ages 4 through the 5th grade. To register your kid or sign up to be a volunteer, please visit us online. We are also hosting Dr. Randy Clark June 11th and 12th. Registration is open at htchurch.com. To find more ways to get connected to the life of our church, please scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. Also linked in our QR code, you can send in prayer requests, join a life group, and fill out a connection card if you're new here. If you're watching us online, please make sure you hit the subscribe button. We love you, church, and hope you have the best day ever.
I am a priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad you're here. So glad you came to worship the Lord with us. I want to say that we have one of the funnest vacation Bible schools anywhere around. We're looking forward to that in June. If you would like to register your children for vacation Bible school, you can do that online now. And if you'd like to help serve in vacation Bible school, we usually have somewhere around 150, sometimes upwards of 200 kids. And so we need lots of volunteer help. And so we would love for you to serve. By the way, who has a better voice than Shege? So I would love to listen to Shege preach a sermon in that voice, you know? It's a nice, beautiful, deep voice. We're glad you're here. Moms, happy Mother's Day. I want to ask all of our moms to stay seated for just one moment. If you're not a mom, would you stand for just a moment? And let's give our moms a standing ovation this morning. And let's just let our moms know how much we love them, how much we appreciate them. Amen. Moms, for all that you do for us, we thank you so much and we love you. We just honor you today. We want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us online today and so glad we can be connected by God's Spirit and thankful for technology that allows us to worship together this morning. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Thank you for honoring the Lord with your tithe, the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you. We want to thank you for remembering giving to the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world. On a monthly basis, Harvest Time Church supports over 60 missionaries and missions organizations. And so your giving to missions throughout the year helps us to keep the gospel moving forward. You know, the children of Israel brought a massive offering for the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. And after they had given, David prayed a prayer in the book of Chronicles. David said this. He said, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Who are we that we should be able to give such generous offerings like this? Everything comes from you, and we have only given back to you what came from your hand. All of this abundance we have provided for your house comes from you, and it all belongs to you." How many of you know that it all belongs to the Lord? Not just the 10% that you offer back to Him. It all belongs to the Lord. It all came from Him, and it all belongs to him. Because of social distancing, we're not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. If you did bring an offering with you, there are offering boxes at all the entrances and exits. You can drop your offering in one of those boxes as you leave today. For those worshiping with us online this morning and for everyone, you can make an offering to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Some people like to give by text, and the information for that is on the screens behind me. You can also find that in your bulletin. Just want to let you know that we didn't have an annual report. Once a year, our board of deacons and trustees and our pastors bring to the congregation a report of our ministry activity and all of our ministry finances for the previous year. And everything sort of got upended with COVID last year and the shutdown. So we did not have an annual report last year. We are getting ready to have an annual report in just a couple of weeks from 2019 and 2020. And during that annual report, we'll be filling three seats on our board of deacons and trustees. And so beginning next week, we will be receiving nominations for people to serve on our board of deacons and trustees. You have to be a member of Harvest Time Church to serve on our board, and you have to be a member to nominate someone to serve on our board. And so beginning next Sunday and the following Sunday, we'll be receiving nominations, and just want to let you know about that. Some of you have tickets for the Big Daddy Weave concert, and we've been working with the concert folks ever since the shutdown began, and we're going to do that concert in September when hopefully everything's opened up and nice and safe. And so hold on to those Big Daddy Weave tickets just a little bit longer, and I don't know, maybe Jesus will come back between now and September, and we'll just have a concert in heaven. If that doesn't happen, we will have it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about a mom with mega faith. A mom with mega faith, Matthew 15. After the service today, there are some coffee and donuts downstairs. You can go down and have a little bit of fellowship. Take a picture with your mom. There's some beautiful flowers around. And find a nice spot and take a picture. Matthew 15. Going to start reading in verse 21. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 21. Let's talk about a mom with mega faith. The Bible says in Matthew 15, 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, that is in Lebanon. And look, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out repeatedly, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him over and over, "Send her away, for she keeps crying after us." But Jesus answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him in worship. "Lord, help me," she said. Jesus replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." The word in Greek is mega. You have mega faith. "Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. Let's talk for a few minutes about a mom with mega faith. So, summer vacation season is coming upon us after 60 plus weeks of the 2-week shutdown to flatten the curve. Maybe you're thinking about actually going somewhere this summer. Maybe you'd like to go to the Caribbean, or maybe you're thinking about Hawaii. How about a trip to the Mediterranean? In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus goes on a little Mediterranean getaway with his disciples. From Galilee in northern Israel, Jesus slipped across the border to the coastal towns of southern Lebanon. It's extremely beautiful there. If you've ever been on the Pacific Coast Highway in California with the hills and the beautiful cedars and the ocean, southern Lebanon is very similar. Matthew says that Jesus withdrew from Galilee. The word means he retreated, he took refuge, he went away for a rest. Jesus had just finished a season of very intense ministry in Galilee, and he was preparing to go to Jerusalem for his final trial, so he just wanted to spend some time away with his closest friends. He rented a house on the ocean, and he didn't want anyone to know that he was there. St. Mark records this same incident, and Mark reports that Jesus wanted to keep his presence in Lebanon a secret. But how many of you know when Jesus is in the house, it's impossible to keep it a secret? Like perfume betrays itself, so he whose name is perfume poured out cannot be hidden. A mom on a mission found out that Jesus was there, and she gave Jesus and the disciples no rest until he healed her young daughter from a tormenting spirit. This mom, this is interesting, listen, she's one of only two people that Jesus ever commended for having great faith. One was the Capernaum centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant, a Gentile, and then this Lebanese mom. Looking at her story, I'm going to share a few things with you today about mega faith. Few things about mega faith. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. If you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. If you'd like a copy of the sermon outline at home, there is a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. You can just click on that, and you can have an outline at home. What does this mom show us about mega faith? First of all, she shows us what mega faith is like. She shows us what mega faith is like. When Jesus commended the Capernaum centurion and the Lebanese mom for their great faith, he wasn't referring to the quantity of their faith. He was referring to the quality of their faith. Jesus said it's not the amount of faith that matters, it's the potency of your faith. That's why Jesus said all you need is faith in the smallest amount, like a mustard seed. Do you know someone who's only been a believer in Jesus for a day or a couple of days can have faith that's just as potent as someone who's been a believer for many years? This mom shows us that mega faith is properly informed. Mega faith is something far greater than an optimistic outlook. It's not just positivism. It's not just a sunny disposition. It's not hopefulness. It's not even resolve. Mega faith is far greater than faith in the power of faith. Mega faith has an object, and the object is Jesus. Listen, we didn't finish this building because we just hoped for a long time that everything would work out in the end. We finished this building because we trusted the word of the one who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Mega faith is informed about Jesus. While Jesus was ministering in Galilee, large crowds of people came down to him from southern Lebanon. They brought large numbers of sick people to Jesus, and he healed them all, the Bible says. So the word about Jesus had spread to southern Lebanon, and it reached the ears of this mom. In the parallel account in Mark's gospel, Mark writes that this woman heard about Jesus, and based on what she heard, she came to believe some things about him. Based on what she heard, she came to believe that Jesus is Lord. You know, in Matthew 15, this mom calls Jesus Lord three times. In Mark's gospel, there is only one person in the entire gospel who ever calls Jesus Lord. It is this Lebanese mom. Lord means that she embraced his deity. She believed him to be something more than just an ordinary man. She believed him to be someone supernatural sent from God. Based on what she heard, she came to believe that Jesus is the son of David. It was known all over the Roman Empire, and especially in neighboring Lebanon, that the Jewish people were waiting for their Messiah. The prophecies were widely known. The Messiah would heal the sick. He would feed the hungry. He would deliver the oppressed. He would set up a worldwide kingdom of blessing on the whole earth. She was a Gentile woman, but based on what she heard, she came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Son of David means she embraced his earthly mission. She believed that he was the one that would bring blessing everywhere. There's lots she didn't understand about the incarnation and the hypostatic union, the mingling of Jesus' divinity and his humanity. Guess what? We have the whole New Testament, and there's still a lot we don't understand about those things, but she believed in Jesus' heavenly origin, and she believed in his earthly ministry, and that is the essence of mega faith. Another thing this mom shows us, mega faith is intelligent. The crux of the encounter between Jesus and this mom is that after being rebuffed for the third time, she comes out with a profound, witty reply that moves Jesus. We're going to look at the nuts and bolts of that in just a minute. But right now, here's what I want you to see. Beyond quick wit, the woman's reply to Jesus reveals a deep level of reflection on her part. She heard about Jesus. She meditated thoughtfully about what she heard. She compared it with the few scriptures that she knew. She inquired further about him. She thought of everything she had ever been told about the Messiah. Maybe she even sought out conversations with others who knew more. Maybe she asked around her circle of friends, "What have you heard about the Messiah?" There was a very large Jewish population in southern Lebanon, and those Jewish people weren't so reluctant to talk to their Gentile neighbors as were the people in Galilee. Maybe she went around to her Jewish neighbors and said, "Tell me about your Messiah." Wherever she got her information, it's clear that she had thought about Jesus, because her swift reply to him reveals not only quick wit, but critical reflection. When Jesus rebuffed her, not once, not twice, but three times, she was undaunted. When Jesus told her, "I'm only sent for the Jewish people," she was undeterred. Why? Because she had reflected on the Jewish Messiah, and she had come to the conclusion and the conviction that if it really was Jesus, he could help her, and he would. She believed Messiah would bring blessing to the whole earth. So why not start with the Lebanese? Why not start with her? Listen, if Jesus really does rescue and heal and restore, why not let it be you? If Jesus really does do miracles, why not let it be for the members of our family, of our household? Doesn't really matter how long you've had faith in Jesus. Maybe you're new to all of this. Maybe you were born into a Christian family. Maybe you were raised in the church. But the real question is, what have you done with your faith? Have you informed yourself about Jesus from the Word of God? Have you inquired further about him through study? Have you reflected upon him in prayer and meditation? Are there some faith convictions in your heart? What does a mom with mega faith show us? She shows us what mega faith is like. A second thing, she shows us how mega faith behaves. She shows us how mega faith behaves. So here's Jesus. All he wants to do is get some rest on vacation. And this Lebanese mom on a mission shows up on his doorstep. I've had the privilege of traveling around a little bit here and there. The one thing that strikes me everywhere I go in the world is not how different people are, but how alike people are. On every continent, in every culture, in every climate, a mom on a mission is the same. Her little daughter was sick, tormented by an evil spirit, and this mom was determined to get help for her. By the way, can I just point something out to you? This woman had great faith, but she still had problems at home. Listen, you can have mega faith and still have problems at home. You can have mega faith and still not be on the same page with your spouse. Where was this little girl's father? Why wasn't he there pleading with Jesus? You can have mega faith and still have tension and strife at home. You can have mega faith and someone in your family takes sick. You can have mega faith and one of your kids is in trouble. The enemy has your son or your daughter in his grip. Struggles at home don't mean that you have no faith or weak faith, but they're an opportunity to exercise your faith. So watch how this mom's mega faith behaves. Mega faith encompasses our whole being. This mom shows us that mega faith engages and energizes every part of us. Mega faith is informed. It engages our intellect. But mega faith is also impassioned. It engages our emotions. It's determined. It engages our will. It engages our bodies. It makes our mouths move, our hands, our feet move. So here's Jesus. He's trying to get a rest. And the Bible says that this mom outside keeps shouting and shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Greek verbs are continuous, which means she just kept saying it over and over again. But Jesus doesn't answer a single word. The church father Chrysostom wrote, "Jesus, the Word, has no word for her." Finally, the disciples can't stand it anymore. They say, "Jesus, send her away already. She keeps shouting at us. She was harassing the disciples. Get him to help me. Get him to help me." I'm in agreement with the majority of commentators who believe that what the disciples meant was, "Lord, heal her already and send her home." They had never seen Jesus not help somebody. "Come on, Jesus, just heal her daughter. Let's get it over with so we can get back to chillaxing here." The Bible says that the disciples kept on urging him, send her away, send her away. So picture, just for a moment. Come with me to the Mediterranean for just a moment. Jesus is on vacation. And outside is a screeching woman who won't shut up. And inside are 12 complaining men who won't shut up. And now you know what it's like to be a mom. The Bible says Jesus was tested every way, just like we are. Although he was a man, Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be in constant demand like a mom. All you want is a little rest, and everybody has a need or a complaint. The Bible says there's going to be a half hour of silence in heaven. You know who that's going to be? It's going to be for the moms. It's going to be for every mom who ever said, "All I want is just a half hour of peace, just 30 minutes. Matthew uses continuous verbs for the woman screeching and the disciples complaining and Jesus' silence. So this standoff, it went on for a little while. Why was Jesus silent? It's not that he was uncaring. It's not that he was being cruel. I would suggest to you that Jesus was trying to draw out the faith of both this woman and his disciples. Based on the little she knew, she was deeply convinced about Jesus. Based on the much that the disciples had seen Jesus do, were they as convinced as she? Finally, Jesus breaks his silence and he speaks to his disciples, but his comment was meant to be overheard by the mom. You ever have somebody make a sideways comment to you? They address a third party, but you know their words are coming right at you. "I was sent only to the lost sheep that are in the house of Israel." Jesus was following the Father's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation was to come to the Jewish people first and then to the rest of the world. God did have a plan to bring salvation to the Lebanese people and to all people. It just wasn't their time yet. But Jesus put that out there to see what the woman would do with it and to see what the disciples would do with it. What is mega faith like? It encompasses our whole being. Here's my favorite part right here. Mega faith is creatively determined. Maybe the disciples were willing to take the answer, not yet, but not this mom. She approached Jesus and she bowed down and began worshiping him. The verb in Greek means she kept on bowing and worshiping. She kept saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Beloved, listen to me. Sometimes we cry out to the Lord for help, and it seems like all we get in reply is silence. The word has no word for us. But listen, I'm about to preach myself happy right now. When the God is silent, worship him anyway. When God is silent, enter into his presence and give him the glory that is due his name. When God is silent, call on his name and don't stop calling. The mom only knew two titles for Jesus, Lord and Son of David, but she believed those with all of her heart. We know a lot more than two titles for Jesus, but are we convinced as she was that Jesus is able to do what his names tell us he can do? When God is silent, worship him anyway. Worship Jehovah Jireh when you need provision. Worship Jehovah Rapha when you need healing. Worship Jehovah Shalom when you're anxious and you need his peace. Worship Jehovah Nissi when you're under attack and you need the Lord to raise up a shield of protection for you. Worship Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness when the enemy of your soul, the accusing adversary, tells you you're not worthy. Worship Jehovah Mekadeshem. The Lord is my sanctifier when you need freedom from sin. Worship Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here when you're struggling with loneliness. Worship Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd when you need guidance from a trustworthy leader. Worship Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander of the angelic armies of heaven, when you're in a fight and you need someone to come to your defense. When God is silent, worship him anyway. Finally, Jesus speaks directly to the mom. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's impossible to understand Jesus' answer without understanding two things. First, the Christian writer Max Lucado says, it's impossible to understand Jesus' answer without understanding that Jesus knew how to smile. Jesus was not being cruel. He was being playful. Jesus had a twinkle in his eye. He had a curl in the corner of his mouth when he said this to this woman. Second, it's impossible to understand Jesus' answer and her retort unless we understand Middle Eastern proverbs and Middle Eastern bantering and Middle Eastern bartering. What sounds like an insult to our Western ears was to her Eastern ears an invitation to enter into a negotiation. Listen, this is so cool. Jesus' answer to her was a well-known proverb on the subject of priorities. It is true that the Jewish people referred to the Gentiles pejoratively as dogs. The Jewish people ate only kosher food. The Gentiles did not keep kosher, so therefore, like a dog in the minds of the Jewish people, they would eat anything. But that's not the word Jesus used here. Jesus used a word that means a little house pet, a little lap dog, a beloved member of the family, albeit a four-legged furry one. To give the children's bread to a dog was a common proverb. It means your priorities aren't right. You're not taking care of business in the right order. In our house, my kids get 3 squares a day. Mommy makes absolutely sure of that. Our dog, Jack the Mangy Beast, gets fed when somebody remembers. Every morning and every evening, we have a family text, the Harvafam text, and every morning and every evening that we text each other, did anybody remember to feed the dog? My mother-in-law, who was a dog lover, used to get so mad at us. She used to say, I wouldn't want to be a dog in this house. Now listen, for all of you dog lovers out there, please don't worry. Jack never misses a meal, all right? In fact, he's a little overweight. He could afford to miss a little bit. But here's what the proverb means. Children first, dogs second. That's the order. Jesus' answer to the Lebanese mom was very much like his conversation with the woman at the well. Woman, salvation is of the Jews, but the time is coming when those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus' answer means your time is coming, but it's not quite yet. That's when the mom with mega faith was creatively determined. She took Jesus' own words and she preached them straight back to him. Don't you hate it, moms, when your kids preach your words straight back to you? Yes, Lord, I understand. But while the children are being fed, there is still scraps for the dogs. I understand, Lord, that God has a plan. But while you're here, you can trust me a little crumb. You have enough for everybody. You are Lord of the whole earth. You care for everyone under your roof, the children of privilege as well as the little house pets. You're the son of David. You're come to establish a worldwide kingdom of blessing. So while you're here, you can surely give me a crumb. Her answer was not only witty, but it was full of deep conviction about Jesus, and he didn't hate it, he loved it. It moved him. He said, woman, you have mega faith. Your request is granted. And at that very instant, her daughter was healed. Listen, distance is no problem for Jesus. We can pray for somebody here in this sanctuary and God can heal them halfway across the county, halfway across the country, or halfway around the world. It makes no difference to him. What does this mom show us? We're almost done. She shows us what mega faith is like. She shows us how mega faith behaves. Finally, this. She shows us what mega faith receives. This is so good right here. Mega faith, this is so good. You're going to have to listen to this again later to know how good it is. It's so good. Mega faith appropriates blessings that belong to a future era now. Mega faith appropriates blessings that belong to a future era now. Before Jesus' public ministry commenced, you remember he attended a wedding in Cana with his mother. Pastor Nick taught us about it. The young couple ran out of wine during the reception, and Mary came to Jesus and she said, do something. And Jesus said, Mom, it's not time yet. It was just a little premature for Jesus to begin performing miracles, but his mother prevailed upon him. Moms have a gift for that. In the same way, this Lebanese mother persuaded Jesus to release a blessing prematurely in the plan of God. The gospel would come soon enough to the Lebanese people after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. St. Peter traveled to Lebanon full of the Holy Spirit, and a great revival broke out there, but it wasn't quite time yet. But the mega mom, the mega faith of this mom secured a crumb prematurely. This is so good. Beloved, you listen to me. Don't you dare get discouraged by the headlines. Don't you dare get discouraged by the news and what's going on in our country and what's going around the world. Not too long, and another era is set to begin. In that era, there is no more pain. There are no more tears. There's no more sickness, no more death. In that era, there is no more sin. There is no more racism. There is no more oppression. There is no more crime. There is no more conflict. There is no more war. And that era is the administration of perfect justice and the restoration of all things. In that era, Jesus is Lord and there is no challenger. That era hasn't begun yet, but by mega faith, we can appropriate some of the blessings of that future era now. Listen to me. Just a crumb from heaven's table is more than enough to meet your need. Just a crumb from heaven's table is more than enough to set your kids free. Just a crumb from heaven's table is more than enough to satisfy your request from Jesus. You know what this story shows us? Healing is the children's bread, and by faith we can appropriate it now. Freedom from the enemy's harassment is the children's bread, and by faith we can appropriate it now. Freedom from dysfunction and addiction is the children's bread. Answered prayer is the children's bread. Peace in your house is the children's bread. Healthy, happy, holy sons and daughters is the children's bread. Blessed generations of your family is the children's bread, and we can appropriate it now by faith. Just a crumb from heaven's table is all you need. Beloved, look at me, look at me. We're almost done, we're almost done. I believe that God has a crumb from heaven's table to just let it fall from heaven, to let it drop off from heaven. You've been petitioning the Lord. You've been pleading and crying out and requesting. Can I tell you, just a crumb from the master's table can fix it all, can solve it all, can change it all. Believe that like this mom believed it. What does mega faith receive? Mega faith appropriates future blessings now. Mega faith, gotta hurry, turns buts into thens. In this story, there's a but. The mom kept on screeching and screeching, but Jesus was silent. The disciples kept on complaining and complaining, but Jesus answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman started worshiping and pleading, "Lord, help me." But Jesus answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." The woman's faith answered, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." And then Jesus said, "Your request is granted." Her faith turned but into a then. Her faith turned delays into a divine dispatch. It turned denials into it's done. I have a word for somebody. Listen, like this Lebanese mom, you've been petitioning and petitioning God, and so far it has just been but. When God is silent, worship him anyway. Inform your faith. Believe that he can do everything his names say that he can do. Pray God's word back to him. Jesus, you said healing is the children's bread. Freedom is the children's bread. Peace at home is the children's bread. Press in. And I tell you, Jesus will turn your but into a then. What does mega faith receive? Last thought and we're done. Mega faith. I like this part. How many of you ever heard a sermon on this story before? All right, listen, you have never heard what I'm going to tell you. Mega faith releases extended seasons of blessing on households, communities, and on our region. Listen, last thought and I'm done. The mom with mega faith was a door opener. Her faith in Jesus opened the door to healing in her own house, but it also opened the door to revival in her community and in the entire region. Don't have time to read the last 10 verses of Matthew 15. You can read them on your own at home, but Jesus did something amazing at the end of this chapter. You remember, he's the one who said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But after this woman opened the door and secured a crumb from the master's table, Jesus spent the last 3 or 4 months of his public ministry ministering to Gentile people in a Gentile land. They brought great numbers of lame and blind and crippled and deaf mutes to Jesus, and he healed them all, and the Gentile people praised the God of Israel. One little lap dog got a crumb from heaven, and the next thing you know, the children's bread was being distributed to Gentile people by the handful. That's good right there. Jesus' final act before crossing back into Galilee and then heading for Jerusalem was to miraculously feed a huge crowd with a few loaves of bread and a few small fish. Matthew says there were 4,000 men plus women and children, a crowd maybe of 12, 16,000, I don't know for sure. But listen, all of them were Gentile people who ate the children's bread until they were satisfied because one little lapdog got a crumb from the master's table. Worship team, come help me finish. Everybody look at me. Listen to me. This building and everything that we're doing right now in this season, it is not for us. It's not for the glory of a man. It's not for the fame or reputation of one local church. It is to be door openers. God wants us to open the door to get crumbs from heaven so that the door can be opened for the children's bread to be distributed by the handful to thousands and thousands and thousands of people who live here. And that's good preaching. A mom with mega faith. She shows us what faith is like. She shows us how faith behaves and what faith receives. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Let's give Jesus a great big praise this morning. Come on, lift up your face. Lift up your hands, lift up your voice. Even when I don't see it, you're still working. Come on, let's lift it up.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're
One more time. That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Come on, give the Lord a great big praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In just one moment for our final act of worship, we're going to just receive communion together. Hopefully on your way in, you received a serving of communion. If you didn't get one at the door on the way in, we have ushers across the back, and you can just slip out of your seat and get a serving of communion for yourself and for your family. But just before we receive communion, I just want to pray for you. Everybody look at me. I do not have silver and I do not have gold, but I have the gift of faith. And what I have, I give to you this morning. Put your hand over your heart. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, by the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lavish the gift of faith into the hearts of your people. Father, mega faith, great faith, mountain moving faith, Lord, potent faith. Father, I pray for every mother and grandmother who's crying out for their sons and daughters, their grandsons and granddaughters. Lord, I pray that you would give them extraordinary faith to believe that you're going to keep every promise that you have made. Train up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your whole house. Father, I pray for an increase of faith. I pray for an impartation of faith. Lord, I pray that you'd give us mega faith in Jesus' name. Come on, would you just say, I receive, I receive, I receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to receive communion together. If you need a serving of communion, you can slip to the back. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, thank you for sending your only son, Jesus. Thank you for his broken body and his poured out blood, Lord, so that we can be right with you, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you for forgiving our sins, Lord, in Jesus' name. Your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen? Let's receive communion together. You can receive the bread, and after you receive the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Once you've had the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church, would you just give them a little worship right now? We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just before we finish, I want to ask our friends, John and Leanne Caminetti, if they would just come and join us. John and Leanne, would you come really quickly? Would you just welcome John and Leanne and just bless them. John and Leanne are founding members of Harvest Time Church. They have been part of our congregation for 38 years. Leanne was one when she started at Harvest Time Church. John and Leanne have raised their three kids, John and Lisa and David, here in our church. David served on our staff with our youth group and our young adults for a while, and now he's in ministry down south in Christian counseling. And John and Leanne are moving. They're going down south where the grandkids are. So we just want to bless them. This is their last Sunday with us. I know you'll be back again, John and Leanne, absolutely. But we can't say thank you enough. This couple, there is no job in this church that they have not done. They have done every job. They have changed diapers in the nursery. They have set up folding chairs. They have led women's ministries, Bible studies. John, we're losing one of our really great drummers. We're saying goodbye to one of our great drummers. They have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And John and Leanne,
may be back. Dave's our landlord.
Oh, their son is their landlord. He said they may be back. So, hey, if he gives you any trouble, I'll give him a call. All right. Stretch your hands forward towards this couple and let's just bless them. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for beautiful John and Leanne. Thank you for John and Lisa and David, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful to 1,000 generations of those that love and serve you. Father, for every seed of sacrifice, Lord, for every seed of service, for every offering that they've made, Lord, Father, not just sharing their tithes, but sacrificial giving, Lord, to buy this land and build the first building and build the second building. Father, for every, Lord, seed that they've planted, I pray, Father, that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, in their retirement, Lord, that it truly would be golden years. Lord, I pray you'd bless their marriage, Lord, with your peace, with your joy, with so much happiness, Lord, and fruitfulness and purpose. Lord, let your blessing rest on their children and on their grandchildren, Lord. And Father, we look forward to meeting in heaven and just laughing and saying, look what the Lord has done. Lord, bless them. Let them go out with joy. Let them be led forth in your peace. And now, Father, I just pray that you'd bless all of your people. Lord, I pray that your presence would rest upon us this week until we come together again rejoicing. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Pastor Blaze is preaching next week. So I want you to come and we're going to receive a great word. God bless you, everybody. Sing one more time and then you can go.
Never stop.